The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. We deal today with the subject, the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. You will see this verse now on the screen. You will see this verse in the bulletin today. I trust you will open your bulletin and get that verse and take a look at it while we're communicating today. This is a magnificent verse of Scripture. We're going to be dealing with some of the most startling verses that you can find in God's Word in these verses in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. Before we begin our study, may we pray together, please. Father, we bow in thy presence to express our deep thanks today that we are your children. We don't deserve to be, and yet we are so thankful that you've saved us by your grace. We have the assurance that one of these days we'll breathe our last breath, the heart will beat the last time, and we'll be absent from this body and at home with our Savior Jesus Christ. Just the very thought of that is exciting. To think about the fact that life on the earth is so short compared to eternity, and that you've already made preparation for us, and you said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in my house, in me, and in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." We realize that you have given us the information we need. First of all, to be saved. Then you've given us all that we need to advance and grow spiritually. Help us to do that faithfully, we pray. And thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. God has given us the privilege of walking in the Spirit. The word walk is an interesting word in the Word of God, because all of us are probably aware of the fact that as you're walking, one foot is on the ground and the other foot is in the air. And it demands that there be balance. We cannot walk properly without balance. And that is so true in the Christian life. To walk properly, spiritually, there has to be balance. The verses that we have before us today are some of the most powerful verses, startling verses, in the Word of God. We deal with the subject, the Great White Throne Judgment. On the screen, you see Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to open your Bibles. And let's begin where we were in this first session, in verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. Fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever. I pause for a moment to say to you, to leave this life without Jesus Christ is the most horrible thing that could happen to any individual. This is a picture of the devil. In verse 10 of chapter 20 of Revelation, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and forever." Now our verse, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. Now these are the startling verses. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead judged from the things which were written in the books, plural, according to their sins, no, according to their deeds. Revelation 20, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their sins, no, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, singular, he was thrown into the lake of fire. In your bulletin today, you have Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Let's look at it. Revelation 20, verse 11 is the one you see on the screen before you. John said, I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it, of whom from the face fled the earth and the heaven. Not a smooth translation, but we'll look at it. And a place was not found for them. The 11th verse, you see on the back of your bulletin that is presented to us there in the German translation. Very interesting indeed. Look at it if you will, please. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne. He that sat on it, before whose face the earth escaped, and the heavens, and no place was found for them. And then the German translation of Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is that of life. And the dead were judged according to what was written in the books, according to their works. What I want you to see is in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, it says, I saw a great white throne. We have an emphasis here upon the last judgment. This is known as the great white throne judgment. When you look at verse 12, John says, I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne, and the scrolls, the books, Biblia, B-I-B-L-I-A, were opened. And another scroll, Biblion, B-I-B-L-I-O-N, was opened, which is the scroll of life. And the dead were judged according to the things written in the books, according to their works. We have the word in the Greek, ergon, E-R-G-O-N. Here the word is used, E-R-G-A. Now, I don't know about you, what you do with a bulletin, but what I do with a bulletin is I take it, look it over, because I put it there. The secretary did it for us. And then I go down to the bottom and I take the verbs. You'll notice that at the bottom of the page, you have the verbs from Revelation 20:12. And what I did, you may want to do this. I looked at the verb number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6. And I went up to the translation of Revelation 20:12. And I marked out by the side of each of the verbs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, I don't think I needed really tell you to do that. But I tell you what, if you'll do that, it will make you have an appreciation for this verse that you've never had before. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing. Verb 1. Perfect, active, participle, accusative, masculine, plural, of histemi. H-I-S-T-E-M-I. Why would I do this to you folks? Why am I doing this to you folks? I want you to see that the Lord is using John out there on the Isle of Patmos. I saw the dead from all walks of life, the rich, the poor, on and on you could go, the high, the low, standing, perfect tense verb, standing, a completed stand. Active voice, they did the standing. Subject produces the action. Participle, how is a participle used? Accusative, masculine, plural. What does that mean, preacher? Accusative means direct object of a sentence. So we have here, I saw the dead from all walks of life standing. They were doing it. It's real. Direct object before the throne. And the books were opened. Opened, verb number 2. Aorist, passive indicative. What does that mean? It means at a point of time, aorist tense, passive voice, subject receives the action. The I stands for the indicative mood. It is the mood of reality. I saw the dead, the great, the small, all walks of life, standing before the throne. And the books, Biblia, B-I-B-L-I-A, books, were opened. And then it says, which is a scroll of life. And another book was opened. Let's look at that. Verb number 3. Aorist, passive indicative. Third person singular. The first one was third person plural. Opened. Now we have aorist, passive indicative. Third person, singular, opened. Which is, there's the verb of being. Number 4, ime. I can't take time to look at all this, but I want you to see it. Last two verbs, please notice. Number 5, and the dead. Most of us are familiar with the word nekros, dead. There's your word nekroi. And the dead were judged. Aorist, passive indicative again. Point of time. Passive voice, subject receives. Indicative mood, the mood of reality. And the word is krino, which is the word for judge. Let's move on. Out of the Greek phase, preacher. What's the last word, verb there? Oh my, when I looked at it, it just grabbed me. You know what I see when I'm looking at verbs and I find them in the perfect tense? I see a repeat. Notice in the first, G-E-G-R-A-M-M-E-N-O-N. And I get into that word and I notice, first of all, that there's a prefix there that lets me know that it is a perfect tense verb. And then I go to my root word and it is the word grapho, G-R-A-P-H-O, the word for written. Please be aware of the fact that we're going to spend a few moments now putting it together. Great White Throne Judgment. Last Judgment. Number 1. People who do not face God's justice in time will receive divine justice in eternity. I want you to think about what that's saying. If people fail to accept Jesus Christ in time, they're going to face divine justice in eternity. Is God rude, cruel, mean? No. What has God done? He was willing to give Himself, His Son, and His Son was willing to give Himself for your sins and mine. We have death. We have the great white throne judgment. And it's found in John chapter 5. And I'm going to ask you to go to your New Testament and go to John chapter 5. And let's see what it says. John chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm turning. I've given you time to find it. John 5:22. It says, well, let's look at verse 21 first. For just as John 5:21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom He wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to His Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son, does not honor the Father who sent Him. In other words, if a person rejects God's plan of salvation, people do not face God's justice in time will receive God's justice in eternity. Now we have some subpoints. Look at this. The last judgment is the alternative to salvation. In other words, a person either accepts or rejects God's plan of salvation. Number two, God is perfect. He's perfect in righteousness and He's perfect in justice. Most of us have seen this many, many times. The Ark of the Covenant, the cherubims, one representing righteousness on the one hand, the other representing justice on the other hand. We've seen this many, many times. On the side of righteousness, here is God, a God of righteousness, pure, holy, sinless, impeccable. Down here, we are mankind, men, women, boys, and girls. We are sinful, ungodly, unholy. When we're without Christ, we're without Christ. So we have righteousness, God, total righteousness, mankind, ungodly, unrighteous. How can we get together? What does God say? On the other hand, on the other cherubim, it's justice. And that one says that sin has to be paid for. So the only way that we can fulfill an understanding of the righteousness and the justice is to realize that there's no way that mankind can get to God unless God's righteousness, man's unrighteousness, comes together by means of the cross. You see it? What I'm saying here is, God is perfect in righteousness and justice. He found a way in time to keep from compromising these two characteristics. He doesn't compromise righteousness on the one hand. He doesn't compromise justice on the other hand. Christ did this in what we know as propitiation. Preacher, what does that mean? That means that when Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried and came forth out of the grave and ascended to sit at the Father's right hand, the Father said to Him, "Sit thou at my right hand." What that is saying is that the Father was propitiated, and the word propitiate means satisfaction. God was satisfied with the total work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ, in death, burial, and resurrection, leaving heaven's glory, coming to the earth, doing all this, ascending back to the Father, God says, "I'm satisfied." How beautiful. Christ did this in propitiation. The human race has two categories. They're in either one or the other. If they are a believer, they're perceptive, they've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, They've accepted the good news of the gospel. And that's the reason why John 3:18 says, "He that believeth is not condemned." Don't let anyone ever tell you that if you sin as a believer, you're going to go to hell. Because every one of us know that we sin. Is that right? Yeah, okay. What about the unbeliever on the other hand? That's a person who is negative, non-perceptive, one who continually rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that person has eternal condemnation, eternal damnation. Because John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Number three, the last judgment, in the last judgment, the unbeliever is under indictment based on rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. That person doesn't go to hell because he goes to movies or dances. I'm just trying to be funny for a little bit. A person goes to hell because he has rejected Jesus Christ. The last judgment of the unbeliever is an indictment based on rejection of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why in John 16:9 it says, "Of sin, because they believe not on me." Revelation 20:15, we'll look at this again in a few moments. "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There's a difference between the books and the book in Revelation. Roman number 4. No believer is involved in the last judgment. Romans 8 tells us, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 8:1. Roman number 5. The unbeliever has two appointments with God. One of those is death, and the other is the last judgment. It's appointed on a man once to die, and then the judgment. Hebrews 9:27-28. I'm moving along. Number 6. The second appointment is kept by a second resurrection. Presented to us beautifully in John 5:24-29, Daniel 12:2. God takes all unbelievers, resurrects them one day at the end of time after the Gog and Magog revolution for the great white throne judgment. Okay, let me stop and let you understand, if you haven't already put this in your thinking, what is the purpose of the great white throne judgment? The great white throne judgment is the time when all unbelievers will be brought up, resurrected, get a body in which they're going to move out into that place of eternal punishment. John 5:24-29, Daniel 12:2. Number 7, the resurrected unbeliever is condemned on the basis of what he's dependent upon, perhaps to take him to the better place, if that's what he's thinking about. This is what is so sad, that many people are of the opinion that if they try to keep the Ten Commandments, or if they join a church, or if they're baptized, or if they give a tithe, or if they go to church regularly, that because of all this, they're going to go to heaven. You see? The resurrected unbeliever is condemned on the basis of his human, her human good, works of the flesh, not sin. Sin was bought and paid for, past, present, and future. Number 8, the eternal state of the lost is the lake of fire. Do I get joy in telling that? No, but I would be untruthful and unfaithful to God's word if I didn't. My responsibility is to give what God's word says. The eternal state of the lost is the lake of fire forever. Matthew 25:41 says, "Then he shall say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It doesn't say it was prepared for people, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, let me take a few moments to let you go with me through these verses. When you go to Revelation 20, verse 13, the fallen angels are judged. The scripture says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Sea is the word thalassa, which means lake. In Revelation 23, Job 38:8, in the Hebrew of the Job passage, it indicates that this is so unique that there are doors, which I would classify as sea doors, in the bottomless pit. Sea doors. The sea is a reference to the place where the fallen angels are located in Jude 6. And the passage I just read in Matthew 25:41, it depicts that all fallen angels will be in the lake of fire. All fallen angels. Then the scripture goes on to say, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. Remember that the Old Testament saints were in a place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they were transferred to the third heaven. A lot of people have never heard this, don't know what you're talking about, but I want you to see it. Remember that the Old Testament saints were in a place called paradise, Abraham's bosom. And after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they were transferred to the third heaven. Then, there's a great gulf fixed, and we have Hades. Hades is the place where all unbelievers are located since the beginning of time. Apparently, in the heart of the earth. Then, perhaps, below this, we have Tartarus, or the abyss. I could get into a discussion about the Tartarus, but let's just move on. This has to mean that the fallen angels in the sea, in the abyss, and those unbelievers of Hades are brought up and then cast into the lake of fire. Both groups are judged and cast into fire. I'm just going through the scriptures one verse at a time. And they were judged, the scripture says, every man according to their works. No sins, but works, good deeds. The only work that will satisfy God for salvation is the work of Jesus Christ. It's very important to see that. Now, Revelation 20:14. There's an emphasis here on the second death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. At a point of time, aorist tense, passive voice, subject receives the action. Indicative mood, the mood of reality. Why do I emphasize these verbs? Because of the power of them. Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written, there's the word grapho, in the book of life, he, she was cast into the lake of fire. The word cast is the word balo. We get our word balo, to throw. So we have cast. The word cast is a real place, lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want you to go with me again and let's look at it very briefly. Verse 13. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. They were judged. Every one of them according to what they had been depending upon for salvation, which was their good deeds, whatever, and it's not going to get them there. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the singular book of life, was thrown into the lake of fire. In my opinion, these are some of the most startling verses that you have in the Word of God. We should look at them often. May we bow for prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours to be reminded of the fact that for a person to leave this life without Jesus Christ as Savior is the worst thing that could ever happen to any individual. And for those who hear my voice at this moment, who've yet not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, may they realize that this is the very moment that they need to do that. Jesus is the only way. He said that. So there's only one way of salvation, and that's by believing and accepting Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that has the Son has life. But if you do not have the Son, you do not have life. We pray that there will be those at this moment who will accept you, that they might have this life. We realize that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. No other way. Jesus is the way. We pray that there will be many who will accept you now. And we thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.